Captain's Log, Stardate 46271.5. The Apocalypse Video Trekcast returns to the holodeck for some Old West-inspired recreational fun. I've been assured by the crew that there will be no perverted shenanigans from either Lieutenant Barclay or Commander Riker, and that the holodeck safety protocols are definitely working normally.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Data's memory malfunction turns a Wild West fantasy into a real live shootout.
My God, you've been shot!
Now, with only primitive defenses, can Worf stop a gang of murderous outlaws?
Where have they taken my son?
And with no escape, can he survive a violent showdown?
There's a gunfighter out there who has the speed and accuracy of an android.
On Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Well, howdy, folks. Welcome back to another episode of the Apocalypse Video Trekcast. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow deputies and varmint, Jackie.
I recognize it. It's Data's poetry. Obviously, I recognize Data's poetry.
And Michael.
Saddle up, Father.
Mac, were you born that way, or did your mother marry an armadillo?
My father is not an armadillo, but my stepfather is.
There are so many great lines in this episode that had me dying.
It's a perfect episode.
I'm beginning to see the appeal of this program.
Honestly, as we were watching this, so we're talking about season 6, episode 8's A Fistful of Datas. And I was thinking, like, this might be one of, if not the funnest episode of The Next Generation. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yes.
It's up there.
I have such a soft spot for, I've talked about before, silly dress-up episodes. I love Worf, the hardworking single father. And any kind of Brett Spiner having a fun time is a perfect episode in my book. I love how many mustaches they put on him.
Oh, my God, the mustaches.
It's great.
And you get nice moments with, like, I feel like everyone in the, all the main characters have, like, little moments to shine. Even, at, like, Picard has some good bits with the flute.
Oh, the opening with Picard is very good.
Geordi's trying to grow out his beard, like,
Data with Spot.
Beverly Crusher's putting on a play.
She's always trying to put on a play.
Riker's dressed weird for the play. He's in his actor's outfit.
He's in his shiny shirt and big pants. Troy's looking so hot as a cowboy. Anyway.
Felis Catus.
We'll get into it, but yeah, let me just spoil right up top. This is a 10 out of 10 episode.
I might have to agree with you on that one.
Also, I've said this before, I love when Alexander shows up, because I think a kid in Klingon makeup and prosthetics is really funny and cute.
Well, I got questions about Alexander in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get into it. I mean, let's get right into it, partners.
Let's open up the saloon doors.
This one, I think, I don't remember how it came about. It was on the Spooktacular episode, Imaginary Friend. We were talking about Alexander, and somehow this episode got brought up.
Well, I think you chose it. I think because we were talking about the writer who did Imaginary Friend, who wanted, who was like, I want to bring more kind of like kid narratives into it.
Did they write this
and
one?
And they wrote, and yeah, so Imaginary Friend was not super well received. It's like we said, kind of boring. But then Fistful of Data is also a nice kind of kid speed episode, and it is super fun.
Maybe
and
one of the differences was this one was directed by Patrick Stewart.
It sure was.
Mr. Picard himself.
Mr. Stewart.
Although I know, like, in shows like this, once you get to the sixth season and you have the actor direct an episode, I feel like you're kind of just like, it's kind of autopilot.
Well, it can be hit or miss, but I feel like when the episode is as fun as this one, it's like, you're going to have some fun.
He's kind of, yeah, I mean, Patrick Stewart's direction could have been, it could have been terrible, but like, he had a great script there, I think they were working off of, one that was really fun, and he could have been just horrible behind the camera, and I don't know if it would have mattered. Like, not to say he is. In fact, I would say the direction in this episode's fine. You get some crane shots, some standard, like, it's clear that Patrick, in fact, when you look in the Chattopedia, Patrick Stewart wanted this episode.
I love that.
It was kind of a thing where, like, I don't know if they necessarily got to pick their episodes, but he, like, really, like,
he was campaigning for this one.
Was, like, campaigning for this episode because he wanted to do a Western so badly. In fact, he was so excited. This is according to the Chad DB, that he forgot to put on sunblock while shooting the outdoor scenes and got sunburned.
Aw. That poor bald head of his.
And that's is some hard-hitting trivia.
I know. As I mentioned, it's a Chad DB, so take it with a grain of salt. But
I think that's fun.
Let's get right into it. The synopsis for this episode. This is a fun one. As you mentioned before, it opens with Captain Picard trying as like hell to record his little Mozart scare.
He's just trying to relax with his little flute that he picked up in the previous episode.
Where he lived
a full life on another planet, but actually it was only a 20-minute memory or something.
I love
which
this,
which is a great episode.
It's like the one thing that he's able to bring with him from that past life.
I love this, like the way that like this show handles like continuity. Like it is kind of a drop in any episode, which I appreciate. But it does have like these little things where like you're not going to lose anything if you never saw that. But if you did see that episode, you'll kind of like appreciate.
Yeah, we see him with his flute a couple times after that episode, and it's always a kind of just nice little,
it's like a good like recognition that like he lived a full life and like that
and that
a
stayed
thing
with
that's
him
always
as a character
gonna be with him. Yeah.
And he's trying his darndest to relax, and everyone
classic
just wants something from him.
Computer, pause playback. Come, computer, begin playback from the first measure. Computer, pause recording. Come. Computer, begin playback from the first measure. Computer, pause recording.
Yes!
Captain, I am sorry to interrupt.
No, please, Mr. Worf, come in.
I'm trying to record Mozart in here.
Everyone wants permission to do a Neuralink diagnostic. Sure, come be
Captain,
in my play with me.
We have information on this story's B-plot. We need your approval.
And he said, yeah, sure,
Dave, is this what it feels like being the boss of the high-powered video store? Like, you try and relax, but everyone's coming into the... like, Ryan's coming in, like, talking about, like, I want to run an experiment with the live wire. I can sync up Chad's database.
And then I come in and I say, you gotta be in my play! Come on!
Yeah, I'm just trying to play pinball. It's like, yes!
I need you to be the butler!
Oh my god, that's... And then we get a cute little line where Picard says,
anyway, I'm not much of an actor.
But we, the audience, know.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I do also like that bit of continuity of whenever they have kind of some recreational time, Beverly is always trying to do some theater and rope everyone into it. And everyone's just kind of like,
she loves her community theater.
Maybe I could do that. And everyone's just kind of like, whatever.
And so Worf shows up, and you feel, at first you're like, oh, Worf is just like a workaholic. He's married to his job, and he's like trying to do stuff. And Picard is like, no, Worf, just I don't want you to do anything.
How about you relax, bro?
And then, like,
why don't you go kill some people on the holodeck like you usually do?
Well, there's that great reveal where Worf goes home to Alexander, his kid, and he's like,
Alexander with his huge Game Boy.
Oh my God. That thing is like, it is so huge.
It's
ergonomically speaking, it is terrible.
I mean, who knows how lightweight it is? He's lying down on the floor playing his games, waiting for dad to come
home.
Maybe
it's some space material where it's actually like less than a pound.
Yeah, and so if you drop it on your face, it's fine.
You fall asleep with that thing on playing it, you're going to break
Father,
your face.
I'm playing Red Dead Redemption 9.
Father, I'm trapped under my Game Boy. Anyway, but then, yeah.
I'm playing Grand Theft Auto 6 that was just released.
Well, but yeah, Worf comes in and Alexander's like, and you can come with me? Yes, I can.
Yes, I guess I can come with you.
Yay!
Father! What did he say?
The captain saw fit to release me from my duties.
You mean you can go?
I can go.
Saddle up, Father.
This is such a great reveal. Because, again, Patrick Stewart asks him, like, Mr. Wolf, is that a reason why you're trying to give yourself more work? And he's like, what? No. I don't want to hang out with my child.
I don't want to take Alexander to Disney World.
My kid's a little weeder. I don't know what to tell you, Captain. I don't like him.
Oh, he loves his son, but he doesn't know how to be an active, participant in this in the little cowboy games. But don't worry, Alexander will show you.
He thinks the game's going to be lame.
Yeah, to be fair to Worf, he's like, oh God, is this like another Sherlock Holmes thing, Alexander? Like, what is this? The ancient West.
Yeah, it's going to be like some nerd stuff.
He's like, ugh, I had to put on a silly outfit and hang out with my kid, but you're going to have fun, Worf.
Well, and it's a good setup, too, because they go in and Worf's interest is piqued, like, immediately because Alexander tells him what their roles are, and Worf is just like,
what is our function here?
You're the sheriff, and I'm the deputy.
So, we are in law enforcement.
Right.
Ah, so we're in law enforcement.
I get to do violence, okay.
So you're saying I might be able to kill someone in here.
You should have opened with that, Alexander. But we already glossed over Michael's quote from earlier. One of the best lines in this episode, full of fantastic lines. Saddle up, Father.
It really gets you into it because, like, in that moment, I've seen this episode before and I know what's coming and I know I love it. As you said, 10 out of 10. But in that moment, the way that he delivers that line and he plops the hat on his head,
puts the hat on Worf's head.
I am just like, oh God, no.
I know. The look on Worf's face is just like,
like, he melts into that chair, like,
you know, it's not always easy being a parent, but you do it because you love your kid.
But the moment he gets to punch a guy, he's in.
Was you born that way? Or did your mama marry an armadillo?
Sheriff, look out!
Beginning to see the appeal of this program.
He's like, actually, I'm having fun. You're right. I love the reveal once we're in the Ancient West holodeck program of Worf's cowboy boots and the spurs, and you get the whole thing of him like walking slowly, and then the tiny little boots of Alexander next to him, and it just pans up to both of them in their outfits.
And this is, so here's the thing I was getting at earlier when I'm like, we need to talk about Alexander.
Yes.
Wow. So, we need to talk about Alexander.
That's my favorite Tilda Swinton movie.
Early. So to sort of wrap up, so kind of for the synopsis, like, they're in the holodeck, they're having fun, but it turns out that whole interlink thing that Data was talking about, like, hey, we're testing a thing where I can, like, run the ship's, like, smaller functions and stuff through my head Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
it surges, and so they have to deactivate it. And that causes, like, this weird holodeck shenanigans.
You get a holodeck malfunction. Data's
showing up in the program, and they can't. And it's one of my favorite tropes in a Star Trek episode. Computer freeze program.
Computer
in program.
Computer.
Something's wrong.
And all hell breaks loose, and they have to try to get to the end of the program.
They have to play cowboys.
Play cowboys, kiss the lady at the bar, and then get out of there. You know, that's basically the episode. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem.
Yes.
What kind of kid makes a holodeck fantasy where his father gets to do all the fun stuff and he gets kidnapped and has to be saved?
Well, I don't think he planned to be kidnapped the whole time. I think it was supposed to only be for like the very end climax. But I think part of it is he just wanted to hang out with his dad.
And I think part of it too is they reveal at the top this was co-designed by Barclay.
Yeah, let's talk about that fucking pervert.
As soon as that happened, I knew
they have a you know sexy lady at a saloon, and Worf's like, "You designed this program," and Alexander's like, "Well, Mr. Barclay helped a little." And Worf's line of like, "I need to have a little talk."
Honestly, this is probably. It probably would have been worse if the power surge had not happened.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what kind of just terrible things we would have seen? I want a deleted scene, like post credit scene of Worf beating the shit out of Broccoli and saying, "Do not come near my son. Stay out of the holodeck. I will murder you."
You wrote this holodeck program yourself.
Well, Mr. Barclay helped a little.
I must have a little talk with Mr. Barclay.
I thought you were about to say, I wanted to see what Barclay's holodeck program
was
all about.
No, not at all. I want Worf to rough him up.
This is just another mark going on Barclay's report.
I think, hey, Worf is head of security. I think if he were to back Broccoli into a room and say, like, you will not do this. You will not interact with my son or any children.
Because of you, I had to get uncomfortably close to Data in, like, this outfit.
And we'll get to that at the very end, but pretty cowardly of them not to put some big old fake titties on Data.
Yeah, what was that all about?
They clearly had like a chest piece in there, because I think Brett Spiner has a lot of body hair in general, but you can kind of see it at one scene, his arms in like the Data like body paint, but it's like mucked up in all of his real arm hair. And it's just like, man.
That body hair, his arm hair in that scene was like, did they glue some fake hair to his arms? Like, what
I think
is
he
that?
Just has some hairy arms, and they usually don't have to put the makeup up that far.
Also, anyway. That makes sense? Because, yeah, he's always got the sleeves. We ever see Data with his shirt off.
I think he just probably has some heavy body hair. Anyway, so we're playing cowboys. Like I said, I think Alexander just wanted to, you know, maybe this is him laying the groundwork to get Worf to do more holodeck games with him. So in the first one, he's like, "Look, Dad, you get to be the sheriff. You get to shoot people and punch people. Isn't this fun?" And so next time he can be like, and I'll be the sheriff this time.
That's true. Get him into the thing, get him to play and like it.
Because I think Alexander knows that his father is, you know, needs a little bit time to warm up to things.
Well, and Alexander too, probably, like, I think he might be excited watching his dad kick butt.
That's exciting. True. If your dad is Worf and you get to see him punch dudes, you'd probably be like, yay!
There's a great moment after they arrest Eli, who will later be played by Data, as everyone will be by the end. Mm. But there's a moment when Worf asks, when they got him in the cell and they're kind of looking in on him, and Worf asks Alexander, "What are his rights in this century? does he have to stand trial, or can I just kill him now?
Should I execute him?"
Yeah. Is this like Judge Dredd laws, or what are we doing?
Give me a little more background on this. That's all, and that's also why Alexander invited Troy to join them, because he knew that, like, you know, we'll get another player in here. It's a friend of my dad's, and she's gonna
that
be.
He's kind of crushing.
He's kind of got a crush
great
on her.
Great entrance by Troy, by the way.
Oh, it's so
like,
great.
So Worf, like. He goes, so when they start the program, Worf and Deputy Alexander walk into a saloon and see, like, the bad guy who they have to arrest, mm-hmm. basically the criminal who's in town, and Worf just immediately, like, punches him, and then Alexander's like,
it's too easy!
And so he's like, increase difficulty to level 4, so then they walk in again, and then this time it is, like, you think it's a lot more serious, and, like, they've, multiple people have sort of cornered Worf, mm-hmm. and then... Someone walks in and just shoots the hat off of
the stranger from out of town. And who is it but Counselor
what
Troy?
What did she say? She has some one-liner when she shoots the hat off, doesn't
does.
She?
She said, like, I mean, we can drop the line in here, but...
Yeah, Chad, if you could drop the line in here.
I suggest you find a new line of work.
I enjoy the ongoing, like... Troy accent plus Southern accent, and it's just kind of bad, but it also just works on a character level.
Fun.
She's having fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Of God, what does she say? Well, it's good. It's a good one-liner, and I'm sure I'll repeat this again. But Troy in the Old West gear is very sexy.
I love her in this. Like she's like so into it.
You know, speaking of sexy, I thought Data in his bad guy outfit was looking pretty slick.
Data,
which
yeah,
one?
As
like the mustache.
I think
the paw.
The paw. He does. He's got like his dark coat and vest
that
and
hat.
It looks pretty good. It
looks pretty cool.
What about Jordy with his beard?
Well,
we haven't mentioned the beard yet.
I loved Data's like low key roast of him when he's like.
This is back in the non-holiday.
Yeah, and he's Jordy's got like Data's wig. Wig flaps open to put wires in his head, and Data says like, "Jordy, it appears you're attempting to grow a beard again."
Such a sick Data burn.
And it's so clearly like just like some darker makeup kind of shadowed on his jaw. Like that is not an actual beard. That's
it makes me
grown.
Wonder if it was like a rewrite at the end of the you know what I mean?
They wanted, like, yeah, like some line about, and they were like, I don't know, I guess we can just put a little more makeup on him. Because I know that he can grow a real beard, but that's not what we're looking at.
This scene, like, it's just fun, too, because, like, in an episode is, what I like about this episode is that usually you would think, like, the holodeck shenanigans are, like, the thing that's the best thing about the episode. So, like, if they cut away from that, you're like, get back to the shenanigans. But I really like the B-plot in this episode because it allows for some fun things and a sweet moment, too. Like, this moment when they're, like, working on, you know, Data's interface with the system, there's, a really sweet moment where Jordy's like, you know, I never get used to seeing you like this. But you're not just another piece of equipment, Data. And Data's like, you know, thank you, Jordy. You're not just another biological organism.
It's a great friendship moment. We get that sweet moment between Jordy and Data. We get a little bit later we get a Data and Spot moment, which I always love.
Oh, yeah.
Love any appearance by Spot.
He's dropped that he's gone through 127 attempts to design food that his cat will like.
And the cat is still just like, nah. It's great. Great characterization there. And we do, through the B-plot ship moments, get the hints that, like, it's not just the holodeck that's malfunctioning, but
Data's taking over everything. Yeah,
Data's taking over everything. He starts saying y'all.
They're doing the play, and Riker's reading his lines off his like ship iPad and starts reading like Data's poetry.
But yeah, Beverly's like, what are you reading? That's not the line. And then and Riker's like, I recognize it. It's Data's poetry.
Which is, that's a callback to an episode. Wasn't there an episode where like Data was doing poetry and it was like horrific and everyone was like.
He's trying.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's work through Act 2 from the beginning. Whenever you're ready.
Felis catus, is your taxonomic nomenclature an endothermic quadruped? Carnivorous by nature?
Hold it. Will, what are you reading?
The lines, why?
That's not the right dialogue. Your visual, olfactory, and auditory senses contribute
to I recognize it. This is Data's poetry.
The play's gone. I just keep getting more poetry.
What's fun about this B-plot is, like, all the action and the tensions in the holodeck, everything happening outside of the holodeck, it's just, like, inconvenience. It's like, the replicator on decks 4 through 9 spitting out my cat food. I lost my play, Captain, or, you know, this
How are we
going to
put on our play?
Yeah, it's like, I lost my Mozart recording, son of a bitch.
I've been working on that all day.
Nothing in the B-plot is, like, you know, life or death.
Dire. There's no, like, fun. The phaser's about to explode. Yeah, it's going to take out deck 5.
There's nothing like that.
Because, like, usually, like, with these stories, like, just like what you said, Mike, like, something would happen where it's like, oh, God, the phasers are building up or surging, and they're going to something. There would be something, but I kind of like that there isn't. That it's just, like...
This is the kind of episode they would never make today.
No.
Oh, no. It would be like, oh, it's building up to a warp core breach or something. But no, I love the fact that it's just like Beverly Crusher next to Geordi. The big concern is, Geordi, you can find my play again, right?
You're going to get back my play, right?
You can get my play back, right?
Hey, we got to fix these replicators because there's a lot of cat food being produced.
Oh, my God. What if that was the big problem? Like, it's not just decks 4 through 9, it's the whole ship. Like,
we have to eat cat food.
I mean, I guess we can, but we don't want to.
Cut to like 10-4 and like Guinan, all she has, like coming out of the beer taps, it's cat food.
Ew. I mean, that'd be gross, but...
It's like, I guess we could live... At that point, they're like, oh, God, when is the supply ship coming? We need help now.
I mean, luckily, Data did formulate this to have a lot of... It's very healthy, especially if you're a cat, but...
What if Data just tells them, like, perhaps hunger will encourage you to eat it, Captain? Like, Data!
Mr. Data!
Well, I never...
I liked, if we may cut back to the ancient West, before the holodeck malfunctions kind of make themselves clear, we get, another, just that nice moment between Worf and Troy when, Alexander's off to go get the currency.
Which is such a weird moment. Like, Counselor Troy, I love it. She's just like, you need to pay me $500.
I'm just making
this
up.
The awkward exchange that Worf has, he just kind of leans over like he's whispering, we need large amounts of currency.
Counselor, I would appreciate some support in this matter.
Durango. I'm called Durango.
Yes, Counselor Durango. Perhaps you would consider becoming a temporary deputy.
For a price. $500.
Alexander, we require large amounts of currency.
Yes, sir. I'll go to the bank and make a withdrawal.
I love that. That's like one of those... A good reoccurring bit in TNG where, like, they don't understand money.
Yeah. They're like, I don't know, I'm going to say a number, I guess.
And I love how Alexander comes back with a sack.
It's just a sack.
Oh, man.
It's a good shot with the little kid with the big sack of gold. but before that, when, Alexander dashes out to the bank and Worf leans over to Troy and he's just like, how do you know so much about the ancient West? And she's all excited and she's like, my dad used to read me these books when I was a kid. And it's a nice kind of through line of like, it's nice hanging out with your dad.
I could see Troy too, like, likes reading Western books.
Yeah, she'd be into that.
I imagine she also probably reads book like the misery books, you know what I mean? She loves like the romance novels.
Oh yeah.
Misery? Like the Stephen King?
Yeah, it's a romance.
The romance Misery?
No. Like those types of books in the movie Misery. The Misery books.
Oh,
sorry. That was
oh wow. Okay.
I guess I should have rephrased it. Like,
you could have just said romance novels
with Fabio on the cover.
Yeah, you know, gotcha. Troy's into that shit.
That's funny. Yeah, romance is like misery.
Like misery. But yeah, they have that nice little moment, and then yeah, we get Alexander with a big old sack of money before he gets kidnapped and brought down to the mines, and then we get that reveal of evil Western Data.
Computer freeze program.
Computer? I'm not supposed to get kidnapped yet.
It's like, at this point, like, they should probably just have a sign outside of the door for the holodeck saying, like, 2 days without an incident or something. You know what I mean?
You know, after all this time, perhaps there should be a few more fail-safes in the holodeck.
They do say, I think in the pilot, don't they, that, like, the holodeck is sort of new?
Yeah, it's basically like,
okay.
You know, they're still working out some bugs. I'm going to blame big part of this on Broccoli, because
like, this was not a thing in the original series, holodecks.
No.
Right. Yeah, this is so all next gen. Yeah, you know, it's new tech, you know.
And sometimes one of your coworkers gets turned into all the other characters in the program.
I'm just shocked. Yeah, they just need to revoke Barkley's access to the hall. He shouldn't be allowed on the floor. Like, no. Not even the floor where the holodecks are.
And especially not ones that children have access to.
I was about to say, like, I wonder if Barkley tried to, like, rearrange some things in order to get in on that program, too. But he wouldn't want a kid in there. He wouldn't want anyone else in there with him.
No.
He goes into his own Western program, and it's just 100% saloons and like sex workers and stuff. And
Troy, like, there is a hollow Troy.
Yeah,
who's still there.
She is all of the ladies in corsets. Yeah, I hate Broccoli.
He's a problem.
He is a problem. He should not work in this industry.
We'll have to do another Broccoli episode in the near future.
What is that one where he gets, like, the giant head? Does he die in that one?
No.
Oh.
I think that's a season 7 episode called Genesis, which honestly, put a pin in that episode for a future Shocktober installment, because that is flat out, like, a scary episode.
It is, yeah. He gets, I mean, his big old head gets pretty scary.
Well, you know, it's not a scary episode. The one we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I there are so many good moments in this episode. Like, again, in the B plot, like, when they're figuring out, like, the Western bit is starting to rub off on Data, and he's starting to use contractions, yeah. And he's starting to say things like, vamoose, varmint. And
I reckon
y'all.
That the...
Spot, you are disrupting my ability to work.
Vamoose, you little varmint.
And I love it, too, because, like, again, it doesn't lead to anything sinister in the B plot. It's just he's talking, and he's walking, too. He's walking like...
He does his, like, swagger. He pretends to spit.
Bow-legged. Oh, yeah, he spits like he's got chewing tobacco. He, like, spits onto one of the plants.
It's like a plant, and then it cuts to, like, Picard and Riker be like, what?
What the hell?
And what's great about this is, like, again, it doesn't lead to anything sinister. Like, you could think, like, oh, God, is he going to start to act like a villain? He's like, no, he's just talking like this.
I like during that scene when he says, like, I reckon the blah, blah, blah will be this and that. And they're like, what did you just say? He's like, I said it will be this and that. And they're like, you said I reckon. And he's like, no, I didn't.
No, I didn't. That's not my memory banks.
That's not my memory banks. Y'all are making things up.
Saddle up,
Picard. He starts doing that thing with this tricorder where he does spins the little, it around like a gun.
Yeah, the little spinny trick. All those little details are just really fun.
It's just kind of surprising. Like, you would think usually, like, it would end, like, it would start to, lead up to something like, I'm through taking orders from you, Captain.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then there'd
like,
be, like, some menacing
table.
Music and then, like, a cut to commercial or something.
But, no, we're fine on the ship. We go back to,
is it just him spit, like, is Data chewing tobacco?
Is he pretending to chew tobacco?
Mr. Data!
That's
that
a disgusting habit.
You stained the carpet.
We just get, Geordi flips open some more wig flaps, and then they fix the problem. And but meanwhile, in the ancient West, we get even more Data's.
Yeah, there's like that great reveal of like, so you first see Data as the bad guy who's, you know, not Data, and he like takes Alexander as hostage. And I think it's like kind of shortly after that, there's like the interaction in the bar.
Oh, yeah. And Worf is like, Commander?
And he's like, what are you doing? He's like kind of playing along, like, oh, okay, Data's in the program. But then he's like, obviously, like, I've kidnapped Alexander. And Worf is like, Commander. And,
hey,
and realizes it's not Data.
It's the moment when Data grabs him by the shoulder. He's like, ah!
Yeah, he's using like actual Data strength. Like, and hell, Worf's like, dude, what? Commander. Come on, Commander.
I do not negotiate with criminals. Your son will stand trial.
Not so fast.
Commander, what are you doing?
I ain't in the mood for games, Sheriff.
Commander? Computer, freeze program.
And, there's like... He goes back to the jail to tell Troy about what's going on, and lo and behold, their arrested villain is now also Data.
You could tell Brent Spiner is having the time of his life, because he gets to play these different character types, like, when my daddy gets here,
and my paw rip you up.
He's hamming it up.
Oh, man, it is like... To a degree that is just, this is like Brent Spiner, like Unchained. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to like ham it up to
They're
the
like,
nth
go
degree.
For it, Brent. Keep, like, keep bigger, bigger.
I'm imagining Picard just laughing behind the camera directing this one.
Oh, Brent, you are the living end.
Patrick Stewart, not Picard.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's Captain Picard.
He directed this in character as Picard.
I will be wearing
method.
Oh, we missed this right up top. We get Picard in his casual like dark grays.
Oh yeah.
And then a little later in the episode, he gets to put on his suede jacket, which we've seen before. He's always looking real fine in that.
His leisure gear.
His flute gear.
Which is such a funny thing that goes back to the original series. It's like, okay, I get it as leisure gear, but it's like, as Captain Kirk did before with like his, you know, he'd had that other like gold.
His green wrap top.
Green wraparound thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
love that.
He still wears it to the bridge. It's really odd that it's like leisure commander.
It's, you know, it's like at like a school where you have like a uniform. There's more kind of casual versions of it.
It's like the military.
It's a casual Friday look, yeah. And you're like, this is still regulation and everything.
You can't show up in your pajamas.
No. But this is a little more low-key. And we're pretty chill around here. We're on recreation right now. So
we like to have fun on the Enterprise.
We like to have fun on the Enterprise. Oh, it's really
a
shame.
We have a couple days off, crew. Why don't you just let loose, go to the holodeck, maybe wear some leisure wear.
It's really a shame we never get to see Picard in that green wraparound shirt, because it's a real sexy look.
Oh, my God.
Show off some of that chest hair with that deep V. Anyway,
we do get the dress.
We do, yeah. Where were we? We're Troy and Worf
we're heading towards the showdown.
The showdown.
Oh, yeah.
Worf gets shot by like the fake Data's men. Troy wraps his wound, and they're like, "We have to finish the program. We have to get to the end of the story to save the day."
A quick side note about that moment when he first sees Data in the bar and he realizes like Data's in the program and something's going wrong, like the program won't end. There's the moment when like Data's henchmen like pull their guns on him and he's like, "I wouldn't go out that door, Sheriff." And I love what Worf's response is. He dives out the door.
Runs away.
He just, bam!
It's so ungraceful. And the guys just stand there. They're like, well, I guess we lost him.
Well,
like,
he left.
Yeah.
He's like 10 feet
it
away.
Totally, like, in the reality of the show, he presumably, like, ran away and got just a scrap or whatever. But, like, what we see is he just dives and face plants. And, like,
yes.
He fully and just like landed on his face.
Like a sheriff.
It's almost like they're,
well, we see,
in shock.
We,
like, I can't believe
they don't chase after
that.
Him because we saw like them just unload so many bullets at point blank range.
Yeah.
And what should have happened, what looks like happened there is Worf is just hardcore dead. and has been shot like 20 times, fell on his face.
No, they only got him once, and then he scrambles.
It's like the
away.
Scene of The Godfather where they
they massacred Worf.
That's how it should have ended. It should have been like a reverse angle of him coming out of the saloon with like just bullet holes in his back. Just oh.
And then Alexander's there, and he says, "Look how they massacred my father."
What? Oh my God! What a gruesome alternate ending this would have been.
Ugh. But no, oh Worf is okay. We gotta come up with a plan.
He's got a nick on his arm.
He's got a little, just one bullet wound, because I guess in the holodeck we have live bullets.
How great would that have been if, like, Troy sees his arm, like, oh my God, you're hurt. And then he turns around and it's just like 20 bullet holes.
Like,
and I'm
oh,
like,
shit.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Jesus, Worf.
Worf, you are losing a lot of blood.
Coughs up blood, falls down.
Oh, I am fine.
Well, Worf is tough, and honestly, maybe he could survive 20, you know, poultry bullet wounds.
These
to
are
the back.
And these. Let's keep in mind, this is the ancient West, so these are some like shit ass little bullets that are like
say,
made of
like,
tin.
Earlier in the episode, when they first begin like the program, and they raise the difficulty level up to 4. This guy, like, breaks a chair over Worf's back, and he doesn't flinch.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
he
well,
just
come
turns
on.
Around like, what?
Balsa wood's gonna hurt Worf.
Well, no, this is difficulty level 4. That's not balsa wood.
Oh.
We don't know how many difficulty levels there are, too.
There's 28.
So we haven't watched this particular episode yet, but I think there's a season 1 or season 2 episode. I think it's season 2 where Worf is in the holodeck and he has like his calisthenics program.
Yeah.
Which
where
involves
he's just
him
murdering
killing
dudes.
A lot of aliens with his bad lift. And just like, it's like super tough. Like he has the difficulty level like super high. So it's like, maybe Worf could have gotten more than a nick on the arm. Like, I feel like he could have survived a few gunshots.
I think so. And we don't really know much about, like, the Klingon physiology and, like, what the effect of a lead bullet is to a Klingon, you know.
What the effect of a lead. Broken chair is on a Klingon.
Klingon WWF when?
Yeah. God, I'd love that. We have also in the... Chattopedia, gosh, what is it? Trivia, where one of the, obviously, A Fistful of Datas is a reference to A Fistful of Dollars, which is a spaghetti western with Clint Eastwood. And the original title was going to be The Good, the Bad, and the Klingon, which is another play on a spaghetti western. Both are just so good. I mean, I love
Fistful of Datas, I think, is better.
The Good, the Bad, and the Klingon.
It's funner. Like, honestly, when I hear The Good, the Bad, and the Klingon, like, somehow I think... Well, that's basically... They're swapping ugly out with Klingon. Now, that's just rude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it is. It's a fun title, but, like, that makes it sound like a Worf is, like, a bad guy. You know what I mean? Like,
A Fistful of Datas is, like, without a doubt, this is going to be a fun episode.
Yeah.
And there are going to be several Datas, most importantly.
To speak to the trivia real quick, there's something in it. I don't know if this is true or not, but
are you getting this from the Chad DB again?
This is from Chad DB, and I will point out that 81 out of 84 found this interesting.
Okay, great.
Wow.
But supposedly, when playing Durango, Marina Sirtis tried to blow smoke rings, but Michael Dorn cut her off and said, "Stop it! Don't be funnier than me. This is my show."
He probably said it a little more lighthearted than that, but I like that as a piece of trivia.
Well, it's funnier. It's even funnier how the trivia bit concludes. It concludes with, "That may explain why Deanna blows smoke in his face instead."
Damn. Now,
I almost want like a little verified check mark on these trivia bits.
I want someone to ask Michael Dorn and be like, "Did that happen?"
I'm gonna pay $8 right now to verify that fact.
Yeah. Either way, it's very cute and funny. That's you'd be like, "Hey, come on, this is my episode."
It's kind of like, "Michael, please, like,
you can't show me up
here." Yeah.
Come on, Marina. Come on.
That's cute. So there's the shootout. That's like the big.
Well, first they construct a little quick and dirty shield to protect Worf for the shootout,
using like stuff.
They got a MacGyver a little bit. He gets his little knife. What do they use?
Old man so-and-so's telegraph machine.
The telegraph machine. And then, they have to make their little, short-term shield that does protect Worf from those shitty little bullets when they finally do the switch off.
I gotta hand it to Worf, I feel like Worf often in this show, is often the butt of jokes, Worf is dumb, or he's just there to, fight a guy, or this or that, but no, Data's not there, Data's not helping him build this shield thing, he does that all on his own.
Yeah,
and that's pretty impressive.
Worf definitely gets, shat on in terms of just let's demonstrate how strong this enemy is by throwing Worf on the ground.
That's
kind of stuff.
How he's used, or he's there for everyone else to say no to him.
Yeah, but I love Worf as a character. So. I love Worf episodes. I like that he's trying to save his kid and he's tinkering around and he saves the day and gets to be the hero. It's great.
There's another great bit with him in this scene when right before they MacGyver the little shield thing, Data shows up as Paw and he's like, "We'll make an exchange and I'll meet you out here." All right. And they shake on it. And I love it because Worf in his mind he's like, "All right, great. I'll make the exchange. I'll get Alexander back and everything will be right as rain."
What does
and
he Deanna's say? He's like,
"No, dude. That's not how it works."
Yeah, Troy's like, "He's going to double cross you. That's how this works. He's a bad guy." And what does Worf say? He's like, "We made it an honorable agreement."
Honorable agreement.
Oh, so good.
In every Western I've ever read, the villains always break their word. He can't be trusted.
But we have made an honorable agreement.
They're not concerned with honor, Worf. This is the ancient West. There's a gunfighter out there who has the speed and accuracy of an android. And in 2 hours, he's going to try to kill you.
Which, again, speaks to Worf's character. And I love that. I absolutely love that bit.
He's a man of honor.
To tell him, that's not how it works in the Old West, dude. He's going to... And I love Worf's reaction. He's like... "What are you talking about, Deanna? We made an honorable agreement. I cannot believe this. What a..." It's almost like Worf is like Superman. You know what I mean? Like, he can't fathom that someone would break an honorable agreement that they made. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not possible.
He's like, "Look, I'm a Klingon. I've dealt with, backstabbing and scheming and everything, but honor is honor."
Yeah, it really speaks to his character, and I really like that scene because Worf has to, contend with the fact that not everyone is honorable, and he's just like, "What?" it breaks his brain a little bit that someone would break an honorable agreement. Like, oh my god. But anyway,
but then we get the showdown. I like when they're doing Alexander's walking towards his dad, and then Eli's walking towards his dad, and then Data as Eli gives Alexander that haughty look where he's just like another great Spiner moment.
You're Patrick Stewart behind the camera like, "Okay, Brent, tone it down a bit."
"I think I should spit at him." No.
"He's
not doing that.
A child, Brent. You're in character too deep.
Do not spit on the child, please."
If you want to say vamoose or something to that effect, that's fine. But we need to hurry up. We're losing the light, Data. Oh, Brent.
We get also during the pass off there, the other great Data in a mustache of the guy up on the roof. Yeah, he peeks up hat first, and then you see the big fake mustache, which is so, and it looks so fake. I love it. But he's ready with his big gun to double cross him. But who's other person's ready with their big gun is Troy.
Hell yeah, hiding in the little wagon or
the
something
wagon.
Like that.
Durango's wagon. Here.
And we get a funny, honestly, you mentioned it clearly looks like a fake mustache. Like, somehow that makes it, that's not a detriment, the fact that it looks so fake.
No, it makes it even better.
Because Data, every character he inhabits, he still has Data's gold skin or whatever. So anything you put on him is going to look fake. So, and honestly, I don't think they could have put a mustache on him that would have looked real because of that issue, like the skin.
Well, like we said, Data as the as Paw, as you know, the big bad guy in his black hat and his
coat and everything.
He's got a little mustache, and it's it all works together to be like a little bit more serious and, as we said, sexy. But it's when we see that last Data at the end, just with the big old handlebar and the big hat.
He's got the ammo like belt.
Yeah, he's got the whole outfit, and it's just so fun and goofy. And yeah, he throws a gun in slow motion.
Throwing the gun is like so good.
Oh, and again, it's perfect episode here where it makes me wonder, like, what kind of westerns is this kid watching? He's clearly not watching Clint Eastwood westerns, because I swear, like, at the end, like, there's that moment where, like, oh my god, like, dad, don't kill him. It's like, no. If he's watching, like, if this were The Good, the Bad, and the Klingon, he would have shot him dead.
True, but how old is Alexander supposed to be? Like, 8?
What's the spaghetti western?
The Enterprise, where, like, they have, like, age restrictions on the westerns.
Yeah, he's only seen the, like, edited for you know, PG versions, and so or like the first half of any western.
Is it The Good, the Bad, and the... there's one of those movies, I think it's The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, or maybe like Once Upon a Time in the West, but it like opens on just like a long far away shot of like a landscape, and then someone just gets shot and like is dead, and that's like
more
and then the credits are just like over like this dead guy. He's not watching that one.
No, that's the whole point of those spaghetti westerns, right? Is like it's a dirty 70s, you know, like everyone is gray morally kind of thing. But I think maybe his Russian grandparents are showing Alexander, like, again, the kid version of some of these things.
Yeah, it's age restricted for sure.
He's watching like Howdy Doody.
Yeah, he's like, cowboys look fun. Troy will maybe showed him a little more PG book or something like that.
If you want to see the good stuff, you got to go see Barkley's unedited version.
Do not go see Barkley. Alexander, you are not allowed. Not while you are under my roof.
But, you know, it's honestly, it's fine. I'm making jokes. It's fine, because you get that great moment where Worf is just like, don't show your face in this town again. You know,
he doesn't want to, like, shoot someone in front of his kid.
In front of his kid, sure. Yeah. And then, all the Datas are like, okay, we'll leave.
And then they're like, I don't understand the program. They go back to the saloon in triumph, and they're like, I don't understand. The program still hasn't ended.
This is where Barkley comes in again.
Barkley's terrible influence, but as we said, it's, you know, the one moment I will ding this episode for the cowardice of they have Data show up as the saloon keeper who's been hitting on Worf this whole episode, and when
drag in a corset,
when we see this character earlier, she's got, like, you know, tits up to her chin kind of style. And so we get Data at the end in that dress and the corset, and they have not put fake boobs on him, which I consider a cowardly move.
And they could have had so much fun with that. Like, they, like, one could have been like way smaller than the other.
Yeah,
or,
do
you know,
something,
I mean?
Goofy here.
Or they could have really goofed it up, and you could clearly see it's like mangoes underneath or something like that. You know what I mean?
Like that scene in Mulan. That's what they should have done.
Yes.
But they don't. And then they have Data and drag go up to Worf and be like, "Thank you for saving me." Ooh, and Worf's like, "Don't touch me, please."
Well, yeah. What's really perplexing about this scene or this moment is that you think it's leading up to a kiss, but no. He just, like, puts his head against, like, Worf's chest, and that's
another cowardly move.
Yeah,
I agree.
Let Worf and Data kiss.
End program.
I don't understand this. The story should be over. What's left?
Computer, end program.
Sheriff!
You're as handy with the shooting iron as you are with a woman's heart.
Computer, end program. Computer, now!
We see Worf has a strong case of the not gays.
But the one, that's the one ding I have in this episode, but
that's I
do love the very end where Alexander with his big exciting day is falling asleep and he's like, I guess you're not gonna wanna, you know, play with me again, huh, father? And Worf is like, well, the town of Deadwood may face trouble again.
That's so good.
And they'll need their sheriff and their deputy.
Well, and we mentioned hip shimmies earlier in the episode. Worf does a little shimmy right in this moment.
When he walks away, he puts the hat back on, he looks in the mirror of like, maybe I am a cowboy.
That's cute. Well,
and this is, yeah, and this is, and I don't know if we've ever mentioned this on, because we've done holodeck episodes in the past, but one thing that is established, at least in the show, not in the movies, but in the show, it's like you have to dress, like most of the time they dress up before going into the holodeck. Mm-hmm. So it's like they, it's, that's what's, there's, that's what's so fun. Like anytime they walk out of the holodeck and they're still in their costumes, it always looks so funny.
It's always a great moment. Picard has to like bring his special saddle in for his horse programs. I think that's just, I think that's just a connecting thread of a lot of different people on the Enterprise. We all love a good horse tale. We all like cowboys at the heart of things.
I wonder how, you know, that makes me wonder. I wonder how other crew members would have fared and if they would have enjoyed this program. I feel like they would have. Riker,
I could see.
Definitely.
I was just gonna say, I could see Riker having a lot of fun.
I think everyone would have fun.
Riker would be playing the not like the piano guy. He would be playing his bone, the trombone.
His bone.
Oh yeah.
Just instead of like the saloon like ragtime piano, just a guy playing the trombone.
He'd just be like. And someone, Troy would be like, Riker, the trombone was not invented.
Shut up!
Well, they wouldn't have invited Data. Data's just going to bring it down with all these useless factoids.
Or he'll put on a mustache and be the
bell of the ball. You know what would be good is Guinan would be good, too.
Oh, yeah. Give her a cowboy
hat.
She'd
be like that, like some sort of criminal mastermind or something.
A villain character. It makes me wonder, like, if because so Worf, the episode ends with Worf saying, like, basically saying, like, no, we could do it again. Like, you know,
I am not opposed to another adventure.
Maybe when the holodeck has gone, like, maybe, you know, like 1,000 days without an incident, maybe then we'll try it again, son. You know, but I can imagine everyone in the crew having, like, a fun time with this because, like, if, as you remember on the Robin Hood episode we watched where Q, you know,
I am
up
not a
Robin
merry
Hood.
Man.
I am not a merry man.
Well, it's like everyone's getting into it, especially Geordi. He got into that.
I love that episode. Geordi's plinking on his little loot that Worf then destroys.
It's like, I kind of want to see, like, this isn't a knock on the episode at all, but it's like, I almost wanted to see more Enterprise crew members in scenario.
This is why fan fiction exists, Dave.
Yeah. Draw your fave Star Treks in cowboy outfits.
I'm going to create my own holodeck program.
And everyone's going to be a cowboy. like we said, 10 out of 10 episode. Worf is a good father. Alexander in his tiny little boots and spurs.
this is a 10 out of 10
I love it.
Agreed.
I reckon this episode is great.
This is a fun episode. It's just, and there are life and death stakes in the holodeck, because as always, somehow the safety measures have been deactivated, you know, which always happens. But this might be one of my favorite episodes. It's just so damn fun.
Same. It sounded like there was some in serious trivia you saw on the chat DB, and I know you did drop some crazy hot facts, like Picard, Patrick Stewart got sunburnt directing it, and Troy blew smoke rings. Was there any other big whoppers you wanted to list off?
That was we already kind of named them throughout the episode. There is one interesting fact here. Marina Sirtis was originally written to play the dancing girl from the saloon instead of the stranger.
I'm very glad they changed that.
Was her role like fulfilled at that point? Like, would she have just left the holodeck? Like, all right, goodbye, guys.
Or I think it would have been as an excuse to just have Marina Sirtis in, you know, a corsety getup, which I'm glad they didn't go with, because one, come on. And two, she is super hot in the cowboy gear, and
well, she's
super
wearing, like,
cool.
Those red leather pants or something. It's like she's already sexy.
She's already
she twirls the gun.
She twirls the gun.
Twirling.
She's got like her hair in that messy ponytail,
got
wearing the cowboy hat and the cigarette, and she looks cool as
hell. Oh yeah, she's smoking a cigarette.
And she blow. What is sexier than blowing smoke in Worf's face and all that? So I'm glad that they, you know, had a little rewrite there.
Nothing sexier than shooting a gun off a head.
Shooting a gun off a head.
I've had too much of the Klingon fire wine. Shooting a hat off a head.
I think it also works a little better that because Alexander did invite Troy to join him and his dad on this little adventure. I don't think Alexander would be like, "Wear your sexiest getup, counselor."
Barclay would, though.
Yeah, well, Barclay's not invited.
Well, yeah, that was kind. Honestly, that was kind of it. The rest of the trivia and the Chad DBs, as you would usually say, are, you know, pretty worthless. there's one here. Where is it? Let me see it. Okay,
this episode features tropes from the Old West.
It's stuff like that. It's like, it is traditional or cliche for a Western to end with the hero riding off in the sunset. The final shot of this episode shows the Enterprise flying towards a quotey fingers sunset of sorts.
Yeah, it's like, thematic.
Yeah, like that's the kind of trivia on the Chad DB where it's just like, I wish you could downvote it to oblivion.
I like all the trivia that's just like, Patrick Stewart was so excited to do to direct this episode. Like, that's all very cute. All the stuff where he's like, he rented a bunch of Westerns to prepare for it. I like that.
Great episode. 10 out of 10. I would say, I honestly, like, if I were building like a batch of episodes for someone who had never seen Next Gen, yeah, I would probably include this in that batch because it's just a fun, lighthearted episode with life and death stakes. And you get to see the cast members having fun.
I don't think this would be in my top 5, but it would probably be in my top 10.
Sure.
It's tough to, I don't know. That's a tougher proposition because there are so many episodes. I think there's like 170 something episodes in the show. So it's like, as good as this episode is, there might be 9 more that I like more, but I will say, yeah, it's a 10 out of 10. Definitely recommend it. Check it out. And I'm glad we did it, guys. This was good.
I'm glad we went to the Ancient West.
Glad I saddled up.
Father.
Father.
But I think, Mike, I think the next pick lies with you for season 7.
Oh, okay. Well, we've already done some of the best episodes in 7, like the Irish romance ghost episode. Was the kids one 7 where they all turn into kids?
Yeah, Rascals.
No, Rascals was season 6.
Oh, that was... Oh, awesome. Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll have to take a look. I don't have anything locked and loaded right now, but you know, get ready. It's going to be a banger. I think I'm gonna try and pick something a little different than what we've been covering. So
I'm going to pick Sub Rosa again.
Sub Rosa again.
You know what? Play it again.
Yeah. So no, I'm gonna try to avoid a holodeck. I'm gonna try to avoid a Q. I'm gonna try to avoid Barclay at all costs.
Well, yeah, in general.
And I'm going to avoid Irish ghosts.
Well,
that's a
good
lot
luck.
You have to avoid. Well, I can't wait. And folks, I hope you join us as we return for season 7 with an undisclosed episode. But that'll do it for this episode of the Apocalypse Video Trek Cash. We'll be back next time. Until then, vamoose, varmint.
Computer, continue recording and playback once more from the top.